Some sounds in this century have never really been lost. They've merely been locked away, overlooked, or coveted by a few connoisseurs. Like this piece of tape. One of the strangest telephone conversations ever recorded. Brought to Lost and Found Sound by producer and writer Larry Massett.
Operator, do you read me now?
Hello?
Operator, will you stand by?
I have a tape which I've been playing for friends for more than 20 years now. I tend to play it to anybody who stops by the house. I've played it for the postman. I've played it for the plumber. I've had it for so long, I don't exactly recall how I got it. It would have had to have been back in the 70s, sometime when I was scuba diving a lot.
Commander Carpenter should be on in about 30 or 40 seconds.
At the time, I had friends, you know, scuba diving buddies, who were in the U.S. Navy. Apparently, it was making the rounds among U.S. Navy divers.
All right. Scott, we have a long-distance call for you. Will you hold, please?
Okay. The man you hear is Captain George Bond. In the mid-60s, Bond was in charge of a Navy program called SEALAB. The Navy was experimenting with sending divers to deeper and deeper depths for longer and longer periods of time to see what would happen, I guess. Now, one of these divers, the former astronaut Scott Carpenter, has just set a world record. He spent 30 days in the ocean at a depth of 200 feet. Captain Bond is now trying to place a prearranged phone call to the White House so that President Lyndon Johnson can offer Commander Carpenter the grateful thanks of a nation. It should be a purely ceremonial call, cut and dry. Commander Carpenter is not underwater anymore. He's in a decompression chamber. He's breathing air in which the nitrogen, which is the gas which can actually cause bends, the nitrogen has been replaced by helium. Helium's harmless, but it really messes up your voice. Listen now, as Bond and Carpenter try to convince a series of switchboard operators to please put the call through to the White House.
Operator, this is Commander Carpenter on the line.
Thank you. Hello, Commander Carpenter?
Scott?
Yes.
Can you hear me, operator?
Yes, we can.
Now, Scott, will you speak, please?
Yes, how do you hear me, operator?
Not too well, sir. Ma'am, do you think it's possible to hear, or shall we try for a better connection? I don't know.
1, 2, 3, 4, 5, 4, 3, 2, 1. How do you read that, operator?
I understand you. Yes.
But it's weak, I see.
Hello, operator?
Yes.
We can't hear him. Did he? Is this
operator,
you can do for a connection?
All right, 1, 2, 3, 4, 5, how now, operator?
Yes, we can understand you, can you, ma'am?
No.
Well, he says that's the best he can do.
All right, I will assume that there's hardly any need to put the call through if,
operator, we wouldn't be able to understand. It's all garbled.
Well, bear in mind, operator, that my voice will sound quite different. I'm in a chamber with a helium atmosphere, so the frequency of my voice is quite high.
Yes, it is.
That is not a telephone connection problem. That's just the result of my speaking from a pressurized chamber. In a helium atmosphere, do you understand?
Astronaut Cooper, are you able to understand me, over?
Yes, ma'am. This is Astronaut Carpenter, not Astronaut Cooper, however. Did you understand that?
I think the operator just can't understand your helium voice, but you sound very loud to me. And I just checked on...
to us, sir, it's very garbled, and we have to have a clear connection for the president.
Operator, this is helium speech. It will always be garbled, but I'm sure it will be understandable. The president knows that it is helium speech.
You think it's all right to put it through?
I would say it is all right. He understands that Commander Carpenter is in a synthetic gas atmosphere.
Operator?
Yes.
He said a synthetic helium gas atmosphere. Yes, and it makes his voice sound garbled and real high pitched. Oh, I see. Okay, wait a minute. Now we'll try it.
Scott, I wonder if anybody understands this.
Well, I don't know. The operator said that she knew what I was trying to tell her, but apparently she didn't.
No. Well, we just sit tight and see.
All right.
At long last, President Johnson is going to appear on the line. You'll note that Johnson is not the least bit disturbed by Carpenter's voice.
Scott, do you read me all right?
Yes, sir, Mr. President. Read you loud and clear. How me?
Fine. Well, Scott, I'm mighty glad to hear from you. You've convinced me and all the nation that whether you're going up or down, you have the courage and the skill to do a fine job.
Well, thank you very much. There were a lot of other people who demonstrated the same kind of courage. It's a great crew out here. And we're all very honored and pleased that you saw fit to call us and let us know that you were interested in what we're doing.
I know that being 205 feet underwater for 30 days and making the excursion dives that you did has been very valuable to us and advanced our knowledge of how humans can perform under these conditions, and I want you to know that the nation's very proud of you. You're very brave and skillful, and I'm grateful that you've successfully completed this experiment.
Well, thank you very much, sir, on behalf of all the crew and all of those who participated in C-Lab. It's an honor to be a part of the program, and again, we're pleased to know that you're this interested in what we've been doing. I must apologize for the sound of my voice. It's the absolute best I can do in a helium atmosphere.
How are you feeling?
We're feeling very well. We entered the decompression chamber about 4 hours ago, and everyone is healthy, and we're running on schedule.
I've had a note from Ms. Carpenter, and your wife is very proud of you, as we all are, and I just wanted to say hello to you and all the fellows associated with you, and good luck, and we're mighty proud of you.
Thank you very much, sir, for calling.
Thank you, Scott. Good luck. I'll see you later.
Thank you.
As far as I know, this is the only phone call ever made from a decompression chamber to a president of the United States. It seems it was a noble experiment, but not one to be repeated.